wonderful to have the choir back. And if you'd like to be a part of the choir, they practice every Wednesday night at 7:45 in the choir room. So come and join them. I'm sure they'd love to have you. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Deuteronomy first, and then we're going to go right to Romans, Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to continue our study in the book of Romans, but this morning I wanted to read a passage that Paul will quote in Romans chapter 10. I think it's important for us to be familiar with what is said in the Old Testament. It's often been said that the old is in the new. Let me start again. The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. Whenever we study the New Testament, we find the roots of what is written in the Old Testament. And so it's very important to be familiar with sacred Scripture as we study it, and so we understand more perfectly what the Apostle Paul is saying, or John, or even Jesus himself. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Now let me give you the context. Moses has given the law of God, or we might summarize, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that God has given to His people. And Moses has challenged God's people to obey God. Not to earn any righteousness. God selected the Jews. He dispensed His righteousness and His kindness and His merit upon them, not for any merit of themselves or any work that they performed, but because He was good, because He's kind. And so Moses comes now as a pastor in the Old Testament challenging God's people to live after God's commands, to be pleasing to God out of a thankful heart. Let's read these words, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Moses says, "Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?' Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it?' No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." Verse 17, "But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing, the Jordan, to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses said to the Israelites, not too difficult, not too hard. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 10, way over in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10. And Paul is going to speak this morning about God's righteousness. We spent the last two Sundays in Romans chapter 9, one of the most difficult chapters in the entire New Testament. Today we'll spend time in Romans 10, one of the most well-known chapters in the entire New Testament. The funny thing, because Romans 10 is the great missionary chapter of the Bible. It's quoted all the time whenever somebody shares the gospel. It's a favorite text at missions conferences. And it's just as well-known as Romans 9 is unknown, but it's written by the same dude. Isn't it fascinating that the greatest missionary chapter in the Bible is right next door to the greatest chapter of election and predestination in the Bible? You find that interesting? I do. Fascinating to me. The Apostle Paul wrote both. And he's going to unfold for us today the righteousness of God and the significance of it in the life of a Christian. Look at Romans. Let's begin with chapter 9, verse 30. As Paul wraps up chapter 9, Paul says, "What then shall we say? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, or the Jews, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Chapter 10, verse 1. "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law." Now keep in mind what we read in Deuteronomy. "The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, 'Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead.' But what does it say? 'The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for these ancient words, the inscripturated Word of God. And I pray now that You would supernaturally use these words in our lives, as sinners saved by the grace of God. Father, change us, sanctify us. And for those who have never known You, I pray that You would enlighten our minds and enable our will to respond to You in faith and obedience. Lord, do all of Your holy will. We'll give You the thanks and praise. Bless the preacher, for his sins are many. Help me to communicate the Word of God with accuracy and clarity and economy. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 10, great missionary chapter of the Bible. I love this text because it's one of the easiest to preach on, just as Romans 9 is one of the most difficult to preach on. It's relatively simple. It doesn't start, though, really in chapter 10, verse 1. It doesn't even start in chapter 9, verse 30. As I mentioned this morning, we had to go all the way back to Deuteronomy and see how the Old Testament saints lived, how they were challenged to obey God, to love Him from the heart. But there are issues that Paul raises this morning as he deals with this theme of righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous in front of God? Really, that's what we all search for. It's what we long for. We want to know that we're in good with God. We want to know God. If there is a true God, which the world seeks after, then who is He? Has He manifested Himself? Can He be known? Can He be followed? Does He love me? Does He care about me? That's what righteousness is. Basically, right standing with God. We've been studying that all the way through the book of Romans, so I'm not going to wear you out with repetition this morning. I simply want to raise three issues that are raised in this passage, I believe, that deal with righteousness. What does it mean to be right before God? Three simple words that I believe Paul points to in this whole subject of righteousness. The first is the word grace. The word grace. And we see this word underscored in verses 30 through 33. Follow along with me if you would. You're reading these verses and he makes it clear that the Gentiles obtained what they did not pursue, righteousness. And the Jews failed to obtain what they so vigorously pursued, righteousness. What made the difference? Faith. See, the Gentiles thought they could never participate in the good things of God. They felt hopeless, dirty, and ashamed. The Jews, on the other hand, saw the law of God, or the Ten Commandments that Moses was given on Mount Sinai, as kind of a badge, or as a mark of ownership. So that whatever they did, however they lived, whatever their attitude was, it didn't matter, they wore the badge. They had the Ten Commandments. They were in good with God, as if the Gentiles weren't. And so the Jews thought, if we just simply obey these commands, if we look at the letter of the law and we obey and do what is right, then we'll be pleasing to God. They didn't realize that the main purpose God gave those laws was not for them to be able to follow them with perfection. Nobody does. The Bible says, as we've already learned in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Nobody seeks after God, not since Adam and Eve. We're all born with a sin nature. And therefore, we don't long for God. We don't seek after God. We don't do anything with God until God does something with us. It changes the heart. And so, Paul makes it clear that the Gentiles who weren't seeking to be right with God were made right with God. It's almost like God handed them the gift on a silver platter. No effort involved. God just opened their eyes and said, here it is, right standing with me, a relationship with me. And the Jews who were trying so hard to obey the law, to be made right by the law, fell short.